James says something very pointed here, something that we have to remember. Let no one say when he's tempted, "I'm tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor, this is important for our text tonight, what we're considering in the Lord's Prayer, nor does he himself tempt anyone to sin. God tempts nobody.
So the $6 million question then, if God tempts nobody, then why are we instructed by God to pray, "Lead us not into temptation"? That is the question we are answering today and tomorrow as we begin our closeout of our series, How to Pray. Welcome to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Lead us not into temptation. We begin in James chapter 1 and verse 13. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon now with today's broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio.
Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am being tempted by God," for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. And there ends the reading of God's word. And a few question and answers in Lord's Day 52, the last Lord's Day of the Heidelberg Catechism. And that's found on page 63. I'll ask the question. Please respond with the answer. What does the sixth request mean? "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil" means, by ourselves, we are too weak to hold our own even for a moment. And our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong with the strength of your Holy Spirit, so that we may not go down to defeat in this spiritual struggle, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. What does your conclusion to this prayer mean? "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Together, we have made all these requests of you because, as our all-powerful King, you not only want to, but are able to give us all that is good, and because your holy name, and not we ourselves, should receive all the praise forever. And then finally, on the next page, what does that little word, amen, express? Amen means this is sure to be. It is even more sure that God listens to my prayer than that I really desire what I pray for. What a wonderful ending to our study in prayer in that last section there of the Heidelberg. I want to look at this in a few different ways tonight. To first, I suppose it's important because of the confusion surrounding it to just understand what it means. And then to think about who we need to be on the lookout for, and then why we need to pray this. I don't know if you caught it, but recently the Pope has called for a translation of a phrase about temptation in the Lord's Prayer to be changed. Did you know that? He changed the Lord's Prayer. Yeah, it's a pretty big thing, isn't it? Does a man have the right to change the Lord's Prayer? Well, he did. And he said, the current wording says, "Lead us not into temptation" is not a good translation because God doesn't lead humans to sin. That sounds reasonable, doesn't it? He says, his suggestion is to use, "Do not let us fall into temptation." Instead, he told Italian TV. The problem is that the Greek word means "lead us not into temptation." That's what it means. Lead us not into it. Just because I don't like something doesn't mean I have the right to change the word of God. The Pope, even though he may think so, is not above Scripture. There's a fundamental difference between Roman Catholics and Protestants, isn't it? It's important in any consideration of the sixth petition to understand exactly then what we're being taught to pray, what it means. What does this mean? I, I, I think it's the one that challenges us a little bit, exactly because of the Pope's concern. What does it mean? Are we praying that God himself would not lead us into this? There's some implications that we have to think through, don't we? We have to be very clear about the meaning of the request. Christ is telling us to petition and ask his Father that we would not be led into it. We have been forgiven. Think about the structure of the prayer as last time we considered forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, that there was a proper ordering to this, that we have received forgiveness from the Lord. Jesus is now encouraging us and commanding us to pray, to look for deliverance from anything that would put us back into that situation. Well, what does it mean? This is why I read James tonight, where James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith," he says, "produces something. And you'll be reminded that in Scripture, the word for tempt and test in the original is the same word. It's the exact same word found in the Lord's Prayer for temptation. James here uses as trial, and there is an important difference between the two meanings of those words in the English language, at least as we're understanding the implications of it in the way that the Lord works in our lives. There's an important difference that the Scriptures make between trial and temptation. We have many words in the English that share different meanings. But I think in the Scriptures often of the way that the Scriptures describe life. It describes life as a trial, doesn't it? Listen to Psalm 98. "Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness." It's all over the place. Peter said the same thing. "Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you." The Bible often presents the Christian life as a trial, a testing that the Lord puts us under. You think of Abram when God tested him with Isaac, his son. Testing is often conveyed in the Scriptures as God working in his people to try them and test them and show his power. Tempting here clearly is something we need to think about. For what does it mean, and what was Jesus after when he's talking about temptation? Clearly he's talking about, as he taught us to pray, "Lead us not into it," the arranging of all the circumstances would put us in positions and places where we are tempted and lured to sin. This is why this is hard for us. Why are we asking God to do that? James says something very pointed here, something that we have to remember. "Let no one say when he's tempted, 'I'm tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor," this is important for our text tonight and what we're considering in the Lord's Prayer, "nor does he himself tempt anyone to sin." God tempts nobody. He tries us, but he tempts no one to sin. So I'm still getting up tonight and having us think about what are we asking of the Lord? It seems to be the first great thing we have to consider here. "Lead us not into temptation" can be a bit confusing for us. If you ever go through the Scriptures, especially in the Psalms, and listen to the prayers of the Psalms and how they speak and the things they ask for the Lord, you can sort of pick up again the same sort of line of thought when you come across prayers like this. "Remove from me the way of lying," Psalm 119, 29. "Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity," Psalm 141:4. You hear that? "Incline not my heart to any evil thing." Psalmist is clearly asking the Lord to do something to prevent his heart from going into something he should not go into. It's important to consider this tonight, that we're asking God to lead us in this way, because I don't think I have to make the case tonight that in yourselves you'll go in this way with no problem at all. This way is already in us. We are already inclined to do things and to put ourselves into situations, into bad situations, into tempting situations that'll lead us right into a path of sin. This is what we're naturally inclined to do. You still ask the question then, well, does God lead us into it? Does God lead us into it? Remember how Jesus is teaching us to pray here. Don't lead us into it. It's important that at times God allows the circumstances and orders the circumstances in his sovereignty of our lives that we do fall under temptation. And what does that mean? Well, David. Think of David from last week. One evening, David got up from his bed, strolled around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing, a very beautiful woman. So David sent someone to inquire about her, and he reported, "This is Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. David sent messengers to get her, and when she came to him, he slept with her." Now, God could have kept the circumstances from happening. God could have prevented those circumstances from being ordered that way. Couldn't he have? But he didn't. Why? Well, I think it's clear when you look at that particular passage as an example. David was in a very calloused, prideful state. The nation's off to war. David was careless. David was strolling around. David was not, was in this position of laziness. And all of a sudden, he falls into this. This is important tonight to consider because James is teaching that God is not the author of evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, but we see that even the wicked acts of David in this particular case and our acts, sometimes God does not intervene in his ordering of the circumstances because of pride and orders things in the way that they are for a purpose. The Westminster Confession says this. I was wrestling with the reasoning for this, and then I stumbled again upon the Westminster Confession, and it's so helpful in this regard. Listen to what it says. "The most wise, righteous, and gracious God does oftentimes leave for a season his own children to manifold temptations." See, there it is. He leaves them to manifold temptations. Why? Why? Why does he have all the circumstances ordered and leaves us then to these temptations to face them? He leaves for a season his own children to manifold temptations and the corruptions of their own hearts to chastise them for their former sins, or to discover unto them the hidden strength of corruption, which you never think about in your lives, and the deceitfulness of your own hearts, of their hearts, that they may be humbled. There it is. And to raise them to a more close and constant dependence for their support upon himself, and to make them more watchful against all future occasions of sin, and for sundry other just and holy ends. You see? Why then at times are we led into it? God has a specific purpose of drawing out and showing you your hearts, showing you you think you're going in your own strength. You don't realize how weak you are, and at times you don't even see the deceitfulness of your own hearts, what you're prone to do. You will fall right into it, and that is God's way of teaching and at times working and training so that you will return and learn more and more to pray, "Lead us not into it." You see? Westminster Larger Catechism says it this way. "In this petition, which is, 'And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil,' acknowledging that the most wise, righteous, and gracious God, for various holy and just ends, may so order things." He's ordered everything, doesn't he? "That we may be assaulted, foiled, and for a time led captive by temptation." It's really a remarkable thought, because what this prayer request then is doing is producing in us a humility that every day we get up when we pray this, we would realize how dependent and needful we are for him to order all of our lives so that we don't go sin, which we don't take seriously enough, do we? Now you understand why we have to pray it. Which I find immensely comforting tonight, that Jesus is commanding us to pray this way. It really is such a beautiful thought at the end of the prayer to think about that this is calling us to see that every bit of life is under God's sovereign care. Every bit of your circumstances. You're going to get up tomorrow and you're going to think, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. You don't even think about all the things that are hitting you and are coming at you and the attacks that are happening and the way he's ordering it all to keep you and preserve you. And so at times, if he suffers us to fall into it, he has a purpose by our own wills, right? Because this is what we want. This is often what we will go do. Each one is led away by his own desires and enticed. God lets us fall into that and orders it all the things so he, as the confession says, leaves us for a season to these temptations, has a purpose in strengthening us when he draws us back, so that we would depend upon him in prayer all the more. All your circumstances, all the interactions, all the things that happen in the daily course of your lives, you're going to now think a lot about, Lord, keep us, hold on to me, because I can't hold on to myself. We'll come back to that. So we're compelled to understand this petition is asking the Father that he would not allow us to willingly take ourselves into it. That everything would be ordered and directed in our lives, that we ourselves would not willingly take ourselves into temptation at the instigation of the devil. I've said before, it's remarkable how easy it is to justify paths of sin in our life. Oh, it's so easy. And I've said it's remarkable how easy it is when all of a sudden we're confronted with the right and the wrong thing, when we're pressed that way, how we will begin to justify falling into it and not even want to see it. God sovereignly orders your lives, every bit of it. And without his intervention, without his ordering the circumstances, you don't realize how quickly you could dump it all and run. We sing this, prone to wander, prone to leave the God that we love. That's somewhat experiential, isn't it? Of course it is. So there's a basic understanding then, the Pope shouldn't mess with things. He shouldn't. Well, I'll come back to even a greater reason why he shouldn't have messed with it at the end. The second reason to appreciate and understand is to understand who is constantly coming at you. The stress tonight, this petition recognizes us. Jesus understands, and we see this all taught throughout the scriptures. We have three sworn enemies always coming at us. Always. You know, this is a reason the Christian life is called a warfare. A battle. Boys and girls, you're supposed to put on armor when you get up. You're supposed to put on the spiritual armor of God every day. Anyone who goes out to war without knowing the opponent is going to get crushed, isn't he? The most successful, I mean, we know this in the world of sports, the most successful sports teams know that the way to beat the opponent is to know that opponent, to know their moves, to know their players, to know what the good players are going to do and how they're able to do it and who can defend them and who can stop them. Every sports team has to calculate and consider the ways to win. Paul uses these analogies for the Christian life all the time. Consider the runner, consider the farmer, consider. Ask how much time athletes put in every day at practice to make their game better, to learn how to defeat their opponents. You can be sure their opponents are studying them with what weaknesses they have. That's true, isn't it? Our enemies are doing the same thing to us, studying us. They're learning how to come at us. All too often, we don't take this seriously. And Jesus specifically says to, as some of the translations have here, it's important to realize, deliver us from evil or the evil one. It really makes no difference. It's the same point. The devil is coming at us. The devil has angels who attack us and assault us. Paul often talked like this. Peter, Jesus said, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you. That we'll come back to that in a minute. Peter realized that Satan runs around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Oh, he's crafty. And it always has to do with some kind of attack on the Word of God. If he couldn't destroy you, he's going to do something to undermine your faith and undermine your belief, just like he did in the Garden of Eden, and call the whole thing into question. You ever felt that? Is any of this really true? You been there? It's the first thing he did to Eve. You're not believing this stuff, are you? He's always working to break down your view of Scripture and of God and make yourself your own God. Always hitting you. One pastor said, evil takes on a form suited to each personality according to his or her fascination. And in the midst of the whole world of temptation and seduction, we can do nothing but pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil.
Some wise thoughts. As we close out today's program, we are looking at James chapter 1 along with the Heidelberg Catechism in our series, How to Pray. Today's petition, lead us not into temptation. Pastor Chris will be back in just a moment here on today's broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We thank you for spending time with us today. It is always our hope and our earnest prayer that our time together encourages you in your walk and relationship with Christ. Now, to that end, we have a variety of ways that you can reach out to us, along with a variety of tools that you can use throughout the week to further encourage your walk and relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reach out to us on our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or if you prefer, give us a call, 888-504-8805. Now, Abounding Grace Radio can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can even visit our website for links to these platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. You'll also find Pastor Chris's blog there. We do have downloads of previous messages that you've heard here on the program. And if you're interested in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, AG Radio is listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program and how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, get in touch with us. No gift is too small or too large, either a one-time gift or reoccurring. It all sustains this program right here on this station. You can donate online at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805, or lick a stamp and send a check through the mail. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And by the way, if you've got a question for Pastor Chris, he'd love to hear it. Simply fire up your voice memo app on your smartphone, record your question, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. It's that simple. If we play your question on the air, we'll let you know when and send you an email back. All right, let's return to Pastor Chris once again as we take a look at tomorrow's program, concluding our series, How to Pray, with this petition, Lead Us Not into Temptation.
The Spirit led Jesus in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. For what end? To beat it for you, to go ahead of you, so that ultimately you can know that the Son of God has defeated the devil, the world, and your own flesh. Jesus has gone through this for you, and he knows, he understands. He understands your weakness. He understands temptation. And he is ready to give you help.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.